This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS. Now, here's Rick Preuss and Lee Cohen, a couple of guys that can only hope to be house trained.
It's 9:35 and we're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we're talking this morning with Dr. Ann Rice, the visiting vet who's in the studio. And before the break, we were talking about the issue of nutrition. And Dr. Rice, were there any other thoughts that you had that we didn't quite get to?
You know, I'm a storyteller. My uncle was a dairy farmer. When I got out of school, I thought I knew something. So I went out to New York to his dairy farm, and I thought I would inform him that he could really do better with the dog that worked with him from morning to night, herding, working, constantly on the ground. When I looked at what he was feeding from the table. And I said, oh, you really need to use a well-balanced commercial meal. At that time, there was only one product that was out there. And I said, oh, that was far more better balanced. And he just looked at me, said, thank you for your information. A few years later, I went back out and I said, I am so sorry. I was so wrong. He fed the dog from the table. He fed what he grew. He fed what he raised. The animal ate as well as his children. And I said, why didn't you slap me upside the head and tell me I was crazy? And he said, I knew you'd come along eventually. So, you know, we all learn at our own pace. And we do what we're taught. And we think we know something. But what my point is if you're a good observer and you watch an animal and they're not thriving, how could you do better? And this dog was fed from the table. Good meat, raw meat, food that they grew in their garden. No processing was done, and the dog worked his butt off day to day. And they lived to, these were shepherds living to 14, 15 years old. You don't see that much anymore.
Yeah, you probably see a lot of shortened lives, mainly because these dogs aren't living the life that they were meant to live,
right.
That they're genetically programmed to live.
So they were working, they had a purpose, they had a job, and they were well supported with good nutrition.
One thing I have a question on, what's gained a lot more popularity in conversation, the good thing about being at the store every day, there's just more and more conversation. You see it unfolding. I see a lot more holistic conversation coming into play. One thing that comes into play a lot is raw foods and feeding raw foods. And I actually looked on your website, and that's certainly something that you would encourage instead of discourage. But there's some potential, at least from press releases and from the conversation line, there seems to be some issues or concerns or anxiety about that because of the old overall lack of processing. Can you comment a little bit about that? What would one consumer want to think about when proceeding on with feeding raw foods?
I think that that brings up the most fear, as you mentioned.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
People are very worried about feeding raw just because we have so many recalls on salmonella from grocery store food that we humans eat, and E. coli. One of the things that I talk about is if you happen to have a dog and they're out on a summer day and they find some delightful roadkill on the side of the road, first they roll in it just so they can smell disgusting, and then they consume it. 90-degree weather, none of them die. So the difference is they have a much shorter digestive tract, so they will purge it out of their system. We hold on to it a lot longer, so that bacteria stays in us, creates some problems. And it's not that animals don't sometimes have a problem, but they will purge it out of their system. So if they're able to eat dead, disgusting roadkill and thrive, and food that's been sitting out in a field in a pile for some time, you know, we're not going to have too many problems with some of the food that has been prepared either by the owner, or we do have so many wonderful raw foods that are out there. That's not to say every animal should be on raw food.
Okay.
A lot of my patients, I said, you know, you're not a good candidate, or we need to do this slowly. My own dog has some raw, some commercial, some dehydrated raw, and she gets a different protein every meal and a different form of food every meal. So that's certainly not the norm.
Well, explain what would, because I don't see people coming in and tiptoe sometimes. I see people wanting to jump in with both feet. Explain what would be a good candidate versus a bad candidate, whether it's the consumer, the person doing the purchasing, or the animal. You know, what makes a candidate for, let's say, you know, raw foods as an example?
A lot of people are uncomfortable making their own raw food. So if they are to start, they would want to go with some of the new foods that are out there. Mm-hmm. My household has tested a number of those just so I can observe my own animal. Mm-hmm. If I have a real debilitated animal, if I have an animal with some real intestinal problems, I may not start them. If I have an immune-compromised animal, it's really nice to start the young dogs with some raw food. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When I start my older animals, one of the reasons is the vitality that that food gives to them. I'll often start them having it cooked somewhat, so it breaks it down because their gut's not used to that yet.
Good point.
We may be adding some digestive enzymes to assist them in that breakdown, mm-hmm, certainly mm-hmm. good probiotics so that we have the good bacteria helping them break that down. Mm-hmm. If they grew up on commercial food, I don't just slam them into raw food, but the vitality, the life force that that food still has in it, it hasn't been cooked to death. We haven't lost all the vitamins, the minerals, the nutrition by that high, high cooking and that high heat. So we could start just by giving them some of, I know the word table food, but food that the humans are eating, start adding that gradually into their commercial diet.
Sure.
In my practice, we'll often do one meal of homemade food or food from the table. So we're using vegetables. We're using a starch. We're using a protein that the household may be eating anyhow. They make a separate meal. We don't have to work at that totally balanced to begin with. We'll work our way into that to make it more balanced. And there are a number of websites if people want to get into that. But we have so many commercial raw foods that can be drop shipped, that can be found in some wonderful local stores that people can start, so they don't have to worry about that balancing act. And these companies have done a very good job with their products. I'm real impressed with them.
Dr. Rice, as part of this nutrition, what about supplements? If a dog is not getting enough calcium because they're just not a bone chewer, and I understand that that's a very good source of calcium for dogs in particular. Also, I in that conversation Rick mentioned before, they talked about implementing things like fish oils and other things like that that can really benefit. Talk a little bit about your recommendations in those areas.
You know, we used to think that all of us could do very well without any supplements if we would just eat good food. The problem gets to be, and this might be off the subject, but if the earth doesn't have those nutrients, the plants that grow on that earth are not complete, and the animals that eat those plants are not getting all of their nutrition. So sometimes we have to do some supplementation. It's harder for owners to make their own food. They have to be very diligent about that.
Sure.
That's why there's some very good websites that people, if they follow that, and there are a number of nutritionists that contribute to that, those websites and to those recipes to make that a good balancing act. Specifically for bones, you're right. Not all animals want to chew bones. In my practice, I encourage raw turkey necks, raw chicken necks, raw duck necks, and there are now raw ostrich necks out there. But you're right, a lot of animals won't eat that. I grow chickens just so I have some healthy chicken shells that I can grind up and make as part of a calcium supplement. You know, we ran into some problems with mad cow disease. And so any of the calcium supplements like bone meal, people were afraid of that because where did it come from? Did we have a potential for mad cow in those bone meal supplements? So yes, we've gone through a whole series of problems with trying to get those healthful supplements out there. And that calcium-phosphorus ratio has to be right on target or will create some problems. It's one of the reasons I think it's nice for people that panic at doing a recipe that they go to some of the already made, well-balanced raw diets.
Sure.
If they're going to make that attempt. It's a nice beginning for folks. And I do have to say, some of my very diligent clients who ground bones, got meat grinders, were incredible. They would devote an entire weekend and make a month's worth of food. And after a few years, even they got a little tired of that. So it takes a lot of dedication. That's why it's nice to get these other products that are out there available.
Interesting. Well, we're going to have to take another break, but Dr. Rice, after the break, I do want to bring up those other elements of the holistic approach, things like hygiene, environment, and psychology. So we'll do that right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.